Blog Talk Radio. And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh Radio, Yahweh Ministry. I be your host, by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, take number 46. And we're going to see if we find our elder and bring him in. He'll tell y'all about the broadcast, and then we'll see which way we go from there. See if we find our elder and bring him in on take number 46. I thought it was 47. All right, 46. Okay. All right, good enough to see. We'll bring our elder in, bring him in, and he'll tell y'all about the broadcast, and we'll take it from there. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh BJFC right here.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, Seer Royal. Hallelujah,
Yahweh Elder. I'm looking at all these memos coming in, all this information on the table. Never dull moment when you come before these national audience, so it'll take your time and whatever the Almighty don't put on you to tell this national audience, and Yahweh be with you all, it's on you. It'll take your time and come on.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's among a cast of hundreds of thousands that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And that's a good thing, because you have a lot of people out there that need proper instruction, because many people try to bring you up another way. Just like some of the churches I was dealing with. Two pastors from one church that, not mentioning any name for keepsake. First there were two. Now there were three want to have a conversation with me at one time about another Bible, Book of the Mormon. This is why in John 14, verse number 6, it says, Yahweh the Son said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have many people that try to bring you up another way, and that's not a good thing, because there's too much leeway without any proper guidance to go wrong either left or right. That's why they tell you and give you a reminder in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse number 13. 13 says, Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there go which go thereat. And you find that to be very true. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, loud bump the gums, and confusion. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast, Yahweh's Ministry, coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's Word. Learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, and foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. Even on this open announcement, many people ask, what is that? How do you people get this much information out of this one book? Well, as I said before, it comes from learning how to connect the books, the words of Yahweh. And many things we get from this one book. We do this because this is information you came to seek. And now you have found that in the Voices of the True Israelites, private web. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of the Sabbath is Friday. And class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just under a big lion, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click pay bell and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. Clicking this, again, you see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells us when reading the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Aqua of your kindred to the people. Give unto the Aqua glory and strength. 8, give unto the Aqua the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you join this, to remember that Aqua loves the cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and once again read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says God, online. Also for building a school, Lake Falls, radio station, and land to grow the health needs, continue to speak of this program. Also while there, check out our calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. We even have a live program, which features available during our live broadcast time. Just enter three words on the search line, Yahwa Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God, and click the red live button. As soon as it appears, it'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topic. Now, we even have a few numbers you can call with Jeffline Line. The first being our live conference room, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 anointed camps of Jeffline Line. But also, in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As a reminder, you will hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. On another note, you can inquire about the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it. Another note we'd like to mention, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. You might imagine he's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mrs. Sigon, and answering many memos, and now even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Also, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our program today, you can catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words on any search line, Aqua Radio Live. And after click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any particular day that you would like to listen. Also, during our normal Blog Talk broadcasts, we are simultaneously transmitting Outlaw Story on Pal Talk, being listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Gadda. You'll find our room will hold 50 or more participants. This is where Elder Tibbs will be there to answer the on-the-table topics, along with Seer Israel, writing as shotgun. During this time, we'll be taking no comments off-topic or any more than text questions answered at a time. And the Brock Talk ends before teaching time. Our teaching will continue on Brock Talk. Yahweh be with you all. But when we're given the scriptures to speak by the Seer, be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahweh flow smoothly with listening numbers, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that want to hear the righteous words of Yahweh, and not that of confusion, as we're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Verse 33 says, "For Yahweh is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all covenants, the church of the saints." Because when we do this, we actually keep those scriptures in mind. But when you find those trying to win the bump the gums contest, they miss all of Yahweh's goals set unto them. Because we are rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahweh. As it reminds us in St. John chapter 14, verse number 26. So we can start our program and start to learn Yahweh's words. We'll pass that program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, Hallelujah, Yahweh. You know, I'm looking at all these memos coming in and me trying to pull some of them messages off the answer machine and for every and to respond back. Well, everybody here, what is our funds? So what we're going to do, we might pray a couple of messages. And then go in the Bible and see what the Bible says. That's a game changer right there. Always to hear what a person say. And that's a good thing. Now, go in the Bible and see, is it so? The WCC, World Council of Churches, Latter-day Saints, and the Catholic Church all have respect. So now you got to go into the Bible and see, can what you have always heard all your life, you got to go see, do the Bible support what you have been brought up on? I mean, that's why the Almighty made a final statement. Matter of fact, we'll bring that final statement up just a little bit later. Well, matter of fact, Elder, while you are on the line, look at, before we hear from Luke 12 and see who will be on stage for the next episode, hey, Elder, see if you find that old Bible of yours and spread out a little bit, and look what the Almighty says in 7. Verse 3 and 4 of the book of Judges. What did the Almighty say? See, it's a game changer. It's what did every now and then I'm good for at least one piece of zeal. And then we're going to get to the lesson. So, hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, can you help those see out on what did the Almighty say to Gilead in the 7th chapter, verse 3 and 4? Can you help those see out, Elder? Take your time and get in that microphone and see, what did the Almighty say? Judges 7, verse 3 and 4. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, come on.
In the book of Judges, chapter 7, looking at verses number 3 and verse number 4. Verse number 3 says, "Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. 4. And the Yahweh said unto Gilead, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them be there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go.
And that's what Yahweh have, he showed Gideon, this is what, how he wants you to operate. So in the six anointed camps, you must be proven to see who going to go when they turn the heat up hot and heavy. And how you know who going to go is what they say from the page of the book. That's the game changer. It ain't about seniority. It's about you need to know what they're going to say in advance, and that's what the lesson might be about after we go on stage and see if we're going to be on stage for a nice episode. So leadership and all the six anointed camps, remember one thing, those that's in the 12 spots of being anointed, you must listen to make sure those that labor among you is on the same page. And how you do that? You got to understand your Bible. And that takes us to Joseph Smith. But Joseph Smith, of the Mormon founder, he didn't use the record of the Bible. He used something totally different, and we're going to find out. Remember, the door is open for that, so we'll find out more. So, let's see who's going to be on stage for the night episode. And the same thing about the Catholic Church. The door, Peter's supposed to be, and all the popes after Peter, fathers, of the word pope means fathers, is the successor of Peter. Wait a minute. You mean every pope after Peter, they are successor of Peter? So that is the heart of their teaching. That is the heart of it. The heart of it is in the Latter-day Saints is the divine revelation that Joseph Smith received when our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father met him and told him, don't join no church. I got something new for you to do. So all that got to be examined. So step it up, and let's see who all will respond to the Bible or what you command, remain with traditions. That's a great thing. All right. So let's see who will be on stage for the next episode. We know that Sister B.S. Judah Israel, she can see I ain't ready yet, but I'm listening. I'm getting everything down pat. I'm putting it all together. Since you said it ain't about seniority, it's about being a doer. And that's the great thing. Keep that in mind. Let's see who's going to be on stage for tonight's episode part number 46 by looking on who's coming on stage. Let's see. Oh, we see a young lion on stage. So we meet the young lion with a loud voice, Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Up and coming teacher out of Camp 1. Yahweh BJLC, right here.
Yahweh Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. All right. Let's see who else is going to be on stage for the next episode. We see Mother E. So Mother E, Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Lead by example. He just said, look here, I'm hollering that microphone because to teach this, you got to live this. And it will reflect back according to just as Yahweh. Hey, Mother E, Travel Yahshua Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Yahweh BJLC Royal.
Yahweh bless you, sir. Israel, of C. Roy,
hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mother E. And we know Mother Z is at her table, said she might put a cover on tonight. And she said, look, sir, put some on the table. Then I'll give a commentary after I hear something. And that's a great thing. Don't think I ain't got my eye on you according to Scripture. And that's another great thing. It's all about this book. And that's the game changer. There ain't no soap pop. And that's why we got to tie in, because we have heard about how the Mormon church was started in previous lessons. We heard about the Catholic church in previous lessons that started. And the WCC, World Council of Churches, out of the Catholic church. So we got your record. And this is a matter of time of bringing out everything and responding back with the whole world here at the same time. But we respond back spirit-led from Yahuwah. Brother Micaiah, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's get something going on Kate 46. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
The righteous spirit do the teaching. Matter of fact, let's make sure that the righteous spirit do the teaching, Brother Micaiah. We open up in Kate 46 by looking at St. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18 and 26. See, in that very same hour, he'll sit the president on how he operates. The righteous spirit would teach you. You know, a lot of times they say, well, what lesson are you on, Phil? No, we're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, Deep Dark Sands, take number 46. See, the righteous, you might have something on your mind, but in that very same hour, the righteous spirit would tell you, yeah, so what? You was working on that. I don't want that out. I want this out. See? So you have to make adjustment on the run on what he say. Because it ain't about me or you. It's about this book and how he'll dictate this book to you. You got to recognize the signs of the times. So we can open up it by looking at St. John, by now put in 14 through 18 and 26, just to correspond with Luke 12:12. He says, in that very same hour, the righteous spirit would teach you. Now, what that supposed to mean? Let's go and find out. St. John, chapter 14 down to 18 and 26. You're on the clock. You're online. Come on.
Okay. Going over there to the book of St. John, chapter 14, picking up at verse 14 down to 18 and verse 26. The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse number 14 reads, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If, verse 15, if you love me, keep my laws. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the righteous spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you."
So this Comforter, it is the righteous spirit, and it will bring all things into your remembrance, which I have already said. What do you mean by you and already said? Mother E, what's that supposed to mean on what you and already said? So meaning what you're gonna quote out your mouth on what already been said. Hey, Mother E.
Mm-hmm.
Tribe of Yahuwah, can you help those see out in Matthew's chapter 4, verse 4 and Luke 4:4? Go back to back with it, Mother, because I want to take a look at something, because we're going somewhere. We ain't got a hold on where we're going yet. But in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, Help me out there, Mother E. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. Oh, boy.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and then slide down to the Luke chapter 4, verse 4, and young lion have me Luke 12, 47 and 48, backed up with Sirach chapter 2, 1 through 10. So, you see, that's how the mental spirit will operate, because see, when you hear anything that's contrary to it, then you know that there and there, because we're going to focus in on all this week and next week on the Roman Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, and Latter-day Saints and the World Council of Churches. We're going to examine what they teach and see do the Bible supports it, because they got a big, very big hoopla on Joseph Smith being the successor. So he done knocked off the Pope, according to their teaching. But what we're going to do is examine everybody and see what the Bible's saying and what you're saying. But we all going to respond according to the taping on tape 46 and 47. You got it, Mother? You got that Matthew 4:4 yet, Mother?
Yes.
Come on with
you're welcome.
It.
The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh.
So we clear now that man do not live by his old vain opinion. You live by every word he says written. And we know where it's written at in Deuteronomy verse 3. But this is a continuation of understanding and teaching. Remember, the carpenter's job is to teach. So they understood what Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 said. So now Yahweh the Son came in the body. Now he's teaching. He's teaching now. Luke 4 verse 4, bring it.
Book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 4. And Yahweh answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yahweh.
So you see, that's how you're supposed to respond. So if you find out, give me 11, verse 3 there, Mother E. Give me Psalms 11, verse 3. So soon as a person open their mouth, all these should come back to your remembrance on the rules and the regulation. You got to have a game plan. You know how they plan to make a play in sports? They rehearse the righteous act. Then they, as a body, they make the plan and go implement the plan. Yahweh got the plan. And he says in Psalms 11, verse 3, Mother, what he said that we can read in Psalm 11, verse 3?
The book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
You see that? So if your foundation been destroyed, mm-hmm. What can the righteous do? You might mean well. But you might have all the degrees on the wall. You might have studied this book upside down. But if you don't have your foundation, what can the righteous do? And the righteous going to end up following anything that sounds good, and you look at their status quo, and that's what you'll get into. You don't get into according to the Bible because you haven't heard the Bible properly. But you're going to hear it now from the six anointed camps of voices of a true Israelite. Now, so with that understanding been made, what did it tell us in Luke chapter 12, Brother Micaiah? What it said we can read in verse 47 and 48? Brother Micaiah. Luke chapter 12, 47 and 48. Brother Micaiah, you're on the clock.
The book of Luke.
The world is listening. Come on.
Mm-hmm. The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 47, verse 48. Verse 47 reads, "And that servant which knew his Yahweh's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." Verse 48. "But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom man hath committed much, of him they will ask the more."
Now he said to that servant, now see, here's the message. See, the precept in that is, he said to this servant, then now you got to be clear about who the servant is. So once we start playing some of the message on Ass Machine, you got to be clear that his servant is going to be with many strikes. But now you have to know who his servant is, a scripture. Let's find out something there, young lad.
Okay.
Let's find out in the 41st, verse 8 down to verse 10. Get warmed up. But before you read that, let's get the foundation on this service in 25:55, Leviticus.
Yeah, well.
Then, the 41, verse 8 through 10 of Isaiah. Because Isaiah has to pull what he get ready to say from somewhere. He has to have a foundation. That's how you make a calling through the foundation. So when you read, look what's inside. Because I hear the grandbabies is really kind of stretching all out. They ain't ready yet to get up on the microphone, but they stretching out real good. So talk over the grandbaby there, young lion. You're on the clock. 55, Leviticus. Come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 55. Verse 55 reads, "For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh."
Now look what we're going to find out on the way of finding out something. So the foundation says the servants of the Almighty One must be a bloodline of the children of Israel. So that's who his servants is. So if you hear anybody else step up and say, well, no, he's doing a new thing, he says, well, not according to the foundation. The servant of the Almighty that's up and away, the Father and the Son, it is the 12 tribes of Israel, that is his servant. Now, a seer get ready to pull that verse in the 41st chapter, verse 8 through 10. Let's see what he say that we can read. What he say he can read, that young lion? Come on. Isaiah
41,
8 through 10. Young lion, you on the clock, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 8 down to verse 10. Verse 8 reads, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Verse 9, "You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called you from the chief man thereof, and said unto you, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and not cast you away." Verse 10, "Fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Yahweh. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness."
So now, in 44:1-5 there, young lion, in the same book of Isaiah 44:1-5, and then we're going to swing over and on the right side of the book and see if anything changed. See, we have to have this information, and we're going to show you in this lesson, because when we start hearing about the Latter-day Saints, the Roman Catholic Church, the WCC, Islam, Judaism. When you start hearing about them, you say, wait a minute. According to the Bible, what you're saying, I can't read it. So what you want me to go on, what you're saying, or what we can read? See, that's when we're going to know what you're working with after you lose all the bump and gum contests and wait till they come up on some app and get into the Bible, scripture. So what you reading there, young lion? Come on.
We're going over to the book of Isaiah. We're going to read chapter 44, and we're going to read verse 1 all the way down to verse number 5. The book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 1, reads, "Yet now hear, O Israel, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen." Verse 2, "Thus says the Yahweh that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Israel, my servant, and you, Israel, whom I have chosen." Verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring." Verse 4, "And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses." Verse 5, "One shall say, I am the Yahweh, and the other shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh and surname himself by the name of Israel."
Oh, okay. So now we're going to find out. It's a requirement. Now, once you're a servant of the Almighty, automatic something in your brain will say, I got to surname myself. Surname means last name. Whatever your government have gave you, fine. That's on the back of your text. But automatic alarm will go off in your head. You'll put on the end of your name, Israel. Then you know you got the blessing of God in your conversation. You ain't got to, all the reason you need another name change is because of the fact of the matter is you got to cash your checks. And you want to be able to receive your checks without nobody interfering with it and going through no deception based upon that. So you want to line up with the Bible. So the line up with the Bible is, it already in your mind from the Bible, you put Israel on the end of your name. But when you know when you're talking to people, you put Israel. But when you're casting your check, then you use your government name. Do all that. Unless your name is being messed up. But the same token, you want the blessing of Yahweh at the end of your name, put Israel there, and the Almighty can recognize his sons and daughters, because you might need him one day, and he only come to the cry of the children of Israel first. That's what you do first. Now, if you want to be an afterthought, continue with the name that you got now at the end of your name. You be an afterthought, but he only going to recognize you through Israel. Now, look at the WCC. Can I get a second witness? Well, hey, Mother E, go ahead and drop a second witness for the WCC, World Council Church of Death, Mother E. Drop up Exodus 2, verse 23 down to verse 25. Let's give the WCC, World Council of Churches, a second witness. We're going to Exodus 2, 23 down to verse 25. What does it say?
Exodus 2, 23 to 25. Okay. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. "And it come to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel fought by reason of the varmint, and they cried, and their cry came up to Yahweh by reason of the varmint." Verse 24. "And Yahweh heard their groaning, and Yahweh remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Verse 25. And Yahweh looked upon the children of Israel, and Yahweh had his face unto them.
You see that? So you see who he looked upon first? The first thing he looked upon, and just like those that have had grandbabies or nieces, nephews inside the crib, whatever. Once they cry, don't you immediately stop what you're doing and go see them all?
Mm-hmm.
You stop what you're doing. Well, you won't. So this is what the Almighty is telling you, children of Israel, by you being in all these things that's outside of the Bible, your cry don't get past your ankle. See? Now your cry is not get past, and you be wondering why your prayer don't get past your ankle, because you're not following the foundation. You got to make sure you line up with the Bible. Then when you call to Yahweh, he recognized the children of Israel first. See, everything have an order about things. Like in the world called seniority. If you got more seniority in the world, then whatever you pick, that's your route you want to. So, Mother, in the book of, since we already in Exodus already, can you give me a precept on that? Since we make that, I need a precept, Mother, in the fourth chapter of Exodus, I need a precept on that. Because he said something in the fourth chapter, and he told Moses in verse 21 something.
Okay.
And what he said in the fourth chapter, after the rules and regulation was laid out, then he looked Moses eyeball to eyeball, and he said something in 4:21 and 22. What he said that we all can take notes in Exodus 4, verse 21 and 22. What was that, Mother? Mother E. You read.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 21. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thy hand is all so wonderful before Pharaoh, that I have put in thy hand. But I will harden his mind, that he shall not let the people go. Verse 22. And thus shall say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my first phone.
Mm-hmm. And what? Give me another verse. You might make a little meal out of it. So he tell you, you go tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Okay, good. Make a little meal out of it, Mother. Read another verse. What happened next?
Verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even thy firstborn.
Even thou, even firstborn.
Even so thou firstborn.
Yeah, so you see that, our Mother? The man is, see, once you line up with him and you understand that's not biblically what you're saying, see, then you'll know who's who and who's not. So we know now the first one he's going to respond to is the children of Israel, and we know in Malachi 3:16 don't change. We know in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 8, he's the same today, yesterday and forever. So if anybody come up with done a new thing, then you can catch them right away by understanding the foundation. So that's a great thing. So now back to Brother Micaiah. So we find out if you are serving up Almighty, and much as is given to you, much is required out of you, children of Israel, So when he gives you something, much is required out of you. Once you say, oh, I know I'm a member of the children of Israel, then much is given to you and much is required. And if you don't do it, he say, oh, he's going to beat you back. He might beat you back in saying you least suspect it. Then all of a sudden, you start getting your back beat because you recognize you Israel, but you're not doing, you have cock in his Bible. Then you're going to pay the price according to Yahuwah. So now, the seer heard all that good conversation there, young lion. And the seer said something that after he read all that good stuff, and Sirach, now give me that Sirach chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Now listen, now the seer's job is to receive the message from the mental spirit. Now he could have summed everything up we just got through hearing. And let's see what he says in Sirach chapter 2, 1 through 10. What did the old seer of Yahuwah put in writing for take number 46? Sirach 2, 1 through 10. Young lion, Brother Micaiah, deliver. Young lion, Brother Micaiah, deliver me, Sirach chapter 2. Now, WCC, I'm getting a delay in the young lion for some reason. You know, when I get off the microphone, I'm waiting on the time to come right behind it, hardcore. I'm giving out a 2-3 second delay. You think you can stand it out for those seers? Sirach, chapter 2, 1 through 10. I deliver.
The book of Sirach, chapter 2, verses 1 and verse 10. Verse 1 reads, my son, if you come to serve the Yahuwah, prepare your soul for temptation. Verse 2, set your mind aright and constantly endure and make not haste in time of trouble. Verse 3, cleave unto him and depart not away, that you may be increased at your last end. Verse 4, whatsoever is brought upon you, take cheerfully, and be patient when you are changed to a lower state. Verse 5, for gold is tried in the fire, an acceptable man in the furnace of adversity. Verse 6, believe in him, and he will help you. Order your way aright, and trust in him. Verse 7, you that fear the Yahuwah, wait for his mercy, and go not aside, lest you fall. Verse 8, you that fear the Yahuwah, believe him, and your reward shall not fail. Verse 9, you that fear the Yahuwah, hope for good and for everlasting joy and mercy. Verse 10, look at the generations of old and see, did ever any trust in the Yahuwah and was confounded? Or did any abide in his fear and was forsaken? Or whom did he ever despise that called upon him?
Mm-hmm. He said, look at the record from the beginning. Anytime they had the Almighty Yahuwah right, you never was confounded. He says, no setting of a servant of Yahuwah being confounded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Yahuwah, he says, no record of them being confounded. But you must be a servant of Yahuwah, and you won't be confounded. And that's the point we're making. Because you know how to just take a deep breath and then understand what he got written out of Brother Micaiah in 41:21 of Isaiah. See, you take a deep breath. Then all of a sudden, in that very same hour, he'll say 41:21 of Isaiah, what it says we can read.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 21. Verse 21 reads, produce your cause, saith the Yahuwah. Bring forth your strong reed, saith the King of Israel.
Produce your cause. If you feel something is not right, produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reason, but the only reason you can bring is as is written. If you feel that any one of the six anointed camps is not teaching right, then go in the Bible and put your case on. Produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reason. And that's what we're going to bring forth, because we feel that the Catholic Church is not teaching right. We believe that the Latter-day Saints.
Hallelujah, bro. Hallelujah, bro.
The world churches is not teaching right.
Hallelujah.
We believe that Christians is not right. We believe that.
Hallelujah, bro.
So what
Hallelujah.
We don't bring forth our strong reason to see could it stand up with the Bible open. Now, we don't get excited. We just going to bring back. You know we'll cut you off. Well, I know you cut me off, WCC. Well, that's up to you. But we're going to bring forth our strong reason. Well, the young man, he can take it from there. So.
Hallelujah.
Lose on contestants. Bring forth your strong reason. If a new thing done in the world, then we got to read that according to the foundation. That's all. And see, we work up on something, but we got to lay the foundation first. So now, in the sixth chapter, young line, the book called Sirach, we want to see it lay the foundation. In the sixth chapter, what can we read in Sirach 6:6, verse 7, then skip down to 35 through 37? What can we read in Sirach chapter 6, verse 6 and 7? 35 through 37, what
it say
that we can read?
We're going over to the book of Sirach, we're going to drop down to, we're going to read chapter 6, and then we're going to drop down reading verse 6, 7, 35, 37. The book of Sirach, chapter 6, picking up at verse number 6. Verse 6 reads, be in peace with men. Nevertheless, have but one counselor of a thousand. Verse 7. If you would get a friend, prove him first, and be not hasty to credit him. Verse 35. Be willing to hear every Yahwali discourse, and let not the parables of understanding escape you. Verse 36. And if you see a man of understanding, get you betimes unto him, and let your foot wear the steps of his door. 37. Let your mind be upon the ordinances of Yahuwah, and meditate continually in his law. He shall establish your mind and give you wisdom at your at thy own desire.
You see that? You say you just don't jump anywhere. Make sure you get your mind right, and all and how you get your mind right. That whoever stand before you, he got to be showing you the law. He got to be showing you the foundation of the law. That's how you get your mind right. Your mind will be all over the place. Because the key to it, you might say, I read this Bible 10, 11 times. But that ain't the protocol of reading the Bible 10, 11 times. That ain't the protocol of the Bible. See, the protocol of the Bible is totally different from the manuscript way we have read the Bible from cover to cover. 10 times, so what? But is that the protocol of the Bible? Protocol. If you do the protocol of the Bible, your mind will be upright. So, he says, you can be in peace with many, but have one counselor. So if you have anything besides the one counselor, you don't book that right there. So now your mind will be all over the place because you will never be stable because anytime you add to one, it ain't one no more. See? It ain't one no more. Now, I got to pull a rabbit out of the hat on that. Now, Mother Eve, in the fourth chapter on the right side of the book, or the book of Ephesians, pick up at verse number one and let's read a little bit. So here's the point. If the seer says, have one counselor out of a thousand, and you got another counselor besides the one, then that let me know, and he already clear about it, you might have closed the book down then because now you're hearing something that's not in the order of the man that made the order. See? So now we're going to Ephesians chapter 4, and Mother going to look at him talking to a people over there in Ephesus called Ephesians. We ain't gonna tell you the people he's talking to. But you being put together, if you really be thinking about what do he deal with first. See? So going to 4th chapter, 1 down to verse number 4, mother. Ephesians 4, 1 down to verse 4. What is it that we can read?
Book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Yahweh deceives you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling.
Mm-hmm. And throw verse 5 in, Mo, just to make it sound good. Throw 5 in just to make it sound good.
Verse 5. One Yahweh, one faith, one baptism.
That's the top of that, mother. So now we find out this is one, everything is on the one. Now that's some tall talking, mother, so you might as well throw one more verse in there just to make it sound good. What does verse 6 say?
Verse 6. One Yahweh and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
So it ain't but one way. So if anybody come up with another way, then you know clearly, but that's not Bible. Unless they might bring you up another Bible, because they know one thing, if they can get you out of this Bible, you know, you in trouble. And they got you. See, when you hear somebody tell you, well, no, we got another book now. What book have you got? Well, we got the Mormon's book. And the Mormon book got the Abraham book. Oh, yeah? And the Catholic said, well, we got our own Catholic edition book. Oh, yeah? So then you know then and there. Wait a minute. What I'm going to do with my Bible here? Oh, you put that Bible inside. See, then you know then and there, it's not scripture-wise. So you might as well just order some spiritual popcorn and read back and listen to the legend to knock them out. Because it's only one way. This or bust. This way or bust. If your head is not stable because you're not following the rules and regulations, one counselor of 1,000. You have plenty of friends, but when it comes down to the understanding of the man in the air, the father and son, one counselor. If you add to the one, you don't have the one no more. Got it? Good. Now, back to Brother Micaiah. So now let's come back to Sirach chapter 20 again and look at verse 28 to 32. Now listen good. See, you got to always bring the seer in. We'll show you later on why. But we want to bring in Sirach. He's a seer, and let's see what he says that we can read and Sirach chapter 20, verse 28 down to verse 32. Hey, young lion, Brother Micaiah, what can we read out of the book of Sirach? Chapter, and you know the Catholic Church, they got the book of Sirach. They got all these books. The Protestant, all that means the protesters. Understand when you hear about the Protestant Church. No. What it really means, the protesters. They was all Roman Catholics, and they protested against, and that's what Martin Luther did. He protested. Said, wait a minute, you doing too much talking. I want to talk some too. That's why he got up out of there. He said, well, too much talking going one way. So he said, I'm going to start my thing, and we're going to protest against the Roman Catholic Church. So what do you mean by being a Protestant? We protest against what we was in. You see, so he sniped off him through and came up another way. You see that? That's what the word means. So when you see the word called Protestant, that means you protested against something. And what they protest against? The Catholic Church. Got it? Good. Now, let's find out what we can read in the book of Sirach chapter 20, verse 28-32. What do you say that we can read there, young lion? Come on.
In the book of Sirach chapter 20, verse 28 down to verse 32. 28 reads, he that tilleth his hand shall increase his heap, and he that pleaseth great man shall get pardon for sin. Verse 29. Present in gifts, blind the eyes of the wise, and stop up his mouth that he cannot reprove. Verse 30. Wisdom that is his, and treasure that is hoarded up. What profit is in them both? Verse 31. Better is he that hideth his folly than a man that hideth his wisdom. Verse 32. Necessary patience in seeking the Yahuwah is better than he that leadeth his life without a guide.
So he said you can lead your life without a guide, but what you're really doing about doing that, hey Mother E, let me show you what happens when you lead your life without a guide. Well, I don't need nobody to teach me nothing. I can do it myself. Okay. Just read in verse 32 that you are, that's not Bible-wise. Oh, I'm so smart, I just can sit around and do my own thing. Okay, good. But that's not Bible-wise. Read verse 32 again there, young lion, to make sure you got those that love to sit around on their coffee table, their tea table, and say, well, I can just go over this myself. But look what he told the seer to tell them that those got ear to ear in verse 32.
Going back over to the book of Rock, chapter 20, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 32. 32 reads, necessary patience in seeking the Yahuwah is better than he that leadeth his life without a guide.
He doesn't have a guide. And here goes case in point. Here goes big dignitary in the 8th chapter, verse 26. 29 through 31, Brother Mackay, in the book called Acts, on the right side of the book, here goes a big dignitary. His pocket was long. He was coming. His pocket was long. He got his $10. And he could have accepted the same way. Man, my pocket too long to hear anybody got something to say. But let's find out what happened here. Let's find out who was working with this guy in the book called 8. Pick up at verse 26 just to get warmed up there, young lion. See, watch the foundation, because anybody of Yahuwah, the only way he can make a calling, he got to read something. So when we get in on Joseph Smith, the Latter-day Saints, when we get in on the Roman Catholic Church being the successor of Peter, when we get in on the WCC, World Council of Churches, but we got to lay the foundation to see what they say something. If you got your foundation, you okay. But if you don't have it, you'll be all over the place. So we laying the foundation right now. And just like we said in a lesson before, imagine when the old cat see a rat, and that rat, he comes out falling up in his hole and run back in his hole. Cat, you know, one day I'm going to get you out there where you can't get back to your home, get you out there in open field. Then I'm going to see out there, because you can't, a rat cannot outrun a cat. A cat can run a rat unless he got a hole to get to. So if you cap that hole, then let him break out running, you can catch it. He can't run up the tree. He can't do nothing to get away from the cat, not the rat, unless he got a hole. So once they is brought out, now, they out there. Then you can cap them inside their head and get them all, you know, head all spinning around before you eat them up. And that's how we going to do in advance the Roman Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, and the WCC, World Council of Churches. I said, we can cut you off. Yeah, well, I know you can cut me out, but it's up to you. So now, so telling you in advance, we're gonna check out your doctrine. You got it out there, right? We're going to check out your doctrine because you got it out there. And just like we come on airways 3 hours, 6 days a week, we out there. Let's see what stands up. Now, what we get ready to read, that young lion? Well, yeah, young lion, what we get ready to read? Now, what's going on, WCC? I don't hear the young lion. Can you help me out while I'm not hearing the young lion right now? Here, you about 10 seconds from being cut off. Well, that's so. What can I say? Mother E, help me out on this verse right here. Right now, the WCC got a hold on the young lion's microphone for some reason to get my attention. So, Mother, let's see. What verse did we say we wanted again? That's why we tell you. And that's why we tell you, Sister B.S. Judy Israel, get ready now. Sooner or later, you'll be called on. And when you be called on, don't be thumbing around that microphone. Be ready to deliver. So we land it out for you. Be ready to deliver. Because sooner or later, you're going to be on the clock. And you too, Sister Israel, you in the room. Be ready to deliver. Sooner or later, you'll be on the clock to deliver. When you come on the airways, don't come be bumming around. Be prepared to rehearse the righteous act. You will be called on. See? Get down your mind. Now, so what did we read? What did we read?
You right, you read was Sirach chapter 20, and that last verse was 32, leading his life without a guide. That's what he's going to.
Okay, all right. And so happened, the WCC have muted out the young lion temporarily. So now, I mentioned something about the book of Acts for a minute. Now, but let me see, can the elder grab this verse from me? Elder Mr. Tibbs, until they straighten out the young lion's microphone, his microphone is straightened out. Let's see, can we be grabbed our elder? And see, we look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and watch the foundation of this thing. Hey, elder Mr. Tibbs. What do Acts chapter 8, verse 26 say?
Look in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26, I believe it says. Verse 26 says, and the minister spirit of the Yahuwah spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward Sod, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, Gada, unto God. Which is desert.
Good. So right now we find out that Memphis Spirit, he's all locked in with his man. Remember, the spirit of any man of Yahuwah, unless Yahuwah show you what to do, and right now he got the book. You ain't got to be looking at no drywall or want somebody to come and say something to you at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, no, no. The Bible tell you the story. See, they wrote all this for our learning. You don't get no jerking, kicking, you got it. It don't work like that. The mental spirit came to Philip and said, Philip, there's a man that's heading to the temple, but he's doing something. I want you to take care of some business for the mighty one. Let's see what Philip did when he had a call on his by the mental spirit. What did Philip do in verse 29? What did he do, that young Philip? Mr. Kidd, what did he do?
Going to the book of Philip?
29. Call that verse out. The book of Philippians. Verse 29. Yes, sir.
29 says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this church.
Go near and join yourself to this chariot. Okay, good. And what happened next in verse 30 and 31? And what, let's see what Philip did when he was told, Philip, you got a calling on you. Let's see if he had to check with his better half or see what the kid's doing. Let's see what he did when the physical spirit said, Philip, there's a man doing something. I want you to go and check him out. Let's see what Philip did in verse 30 that we can read. What did he do there, Elder?
30 says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet, seer, Elijah, and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip, that he would go up and sit with him.
So all the way you will understand the word of the Bible, according to verse number, what that 31 you read, what got to happen there, Elder? I mean, for the national, especially for the WCC, and all this good stuff, that even for the Latter-day Saints with Joseph Smith, what got to happen that we can read in verse 31? What got to happen that we can read, Elder?
Some men should guide them.
So you got to be guided by a man. The only way you won't be understanding, but you got to be guided by a man of Yahweh. That's when you got it. Because we read in verse 26, the Milton Spirit came to Philip. So Philip was a man of Yahweh. So he looked at Philip and said, look here, you got a man over there reading the Bible. The scrolls called Isaiah. But he just reading, and like we've been doing all our life, just reading, but we've been now trained to read, but never comprehend what we read. That's why we all over the place. See, they taught us now we can read the English. We never spoke English, but now we've been taught the English language of the children of Israel came. Even when Christopher Columbus came to South America, they did not speak English. That's why he had interpreters with him to speak the Semitic language called Hebrew. So English is a bastardized language that was given you from the Latins that produced English. So all the English... because that's not your language neither. And when you read Zephaniah 3, 8 through 10, it tells you plainly, one day when I come back, that bastardized language you got in your mouth, I'm going to vamp your mouth to come back to the tongue that you spoke before you messed up. And that is Semitic. So all you English majors love to say, oh, see, you butchered up words, so what? The language that we got now is going to be wiped out the way according to Zephaniah 3, 8 through 10. You got it? Good. You told the seer that bastardized language that they're going to have coming up, when I get back, boom, that tongue going to be gone. Keep that in your mind. So specializing in doing the law. Don't worry about how much you can quote the Latin to the English. Make sure you're doing the law. That's the game changer. So now we found out one thing, that you got to be guided by a man. So you show me anywhere, and that was the sixth anointing count. You show me one person that's not guided by the sixth anointing count that can compete with any member of the sixth anointing count. Show me one group. Show me one. All I want is one. You read it, it's one way, and we're going to show you the one way, And those that's not in the six anointed camps, their mind would not be stable enough to compete. They'd be all over the place. See? Got it? Good. All right. I hear you, WCC. I'm not going to even respond to that one. So we found out, now, Mother E, we didn't read, because if you try to do it another way, 9 Sirach 6, verse 2, can you help those see out, Mother? Hey, Mother E, what it says in Sirach chapter 6, verse number 2. See, this is what happens when you think that you can sit around and just read back and get in your book and just stretch all out. Let's see what Yahweh got written. Now, Baruch had to be cleaned up. So Baruch started complaining about, oh, woe is me, in the 45th chapter of Jeremiah. Oh, woe is me. You get ready to tear up the land of Judah, and I just got me old piece of house over here. I'm skinning and grinning, looking good. He told Jeremiah in the 45th chapter, we're not going to read it. He said, Jeremiah, you go tell Baruch. I should have killed Baruch. He's thinking about himself. This is not about yourself. This is about you doing the will of Yahweh's will. So whoever born in this time, it ain't about you. It's about raising up the nation that's behind you that's all over the place in the brain. So when we read 6 verse 2, what it says, hey, Mother E, what it says in Baruch? No, that's in Baruch. Thank you, Mother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, make it. Thank you, Mother Z.
Verse 2.
Make it Sirach 6, verse 2. What do Sirach 6, 2 say?
The book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 2. Exalt not thyself in the counsel of thine own mind, that thy soul be not torn in pieces as a bull straying along.
He said, don't do that. Don't all of a sudden get in the counsel of your own mind, because you will be torn in pieces. It don't work like that. You can sit around and read that book all you want. You in the counsel of your own mind. And there's a death. Now, he has to pull that from somewhere, Mother. See, remember, everybody pull verses. See, when you pull verses, then you know it's a precept to everything said. Only way Sirach could tell you don't lean on the counsel of your own mind, he had to pull that from somewhere. That's by the way he pulled it from, Mother. Let's run on to the book of Proverbs. We want to know where he pulled that verse from. We're going to, and what I need, I'm stubborn right now, but we know he pulled that verse. So those that sit around and think that they can do this thing themselves, oh, well, no, it don't work like that. You still got to follow the Bible. The Bible says you can't do the counsel of your own mind, because you can be reading something come short every time. In the fourth chapter, Mother, make it the third chapter, Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 5 down to verse number 10. See, we can read in Proverbs, yeah, because, see, remember, whatever the seers have said, they had to pull it from the foundation. So we go into Proverbs 3, verse 5 down to verse 10, and let's see, can we precept that? The world cannot precept the Bible, because they precept the Bible, a third hand will come out that Bible and choke them on the neck, because they expose them too big. That's why they tell you to read this book. What book? The Mormon's book. What other book? The Catholic book. The Judaism book. The Quran. Why can't we just read the foundation of the Bible? Because they put the thing on us. That's why you can't read that. They put the thing on us. So now in Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, help me out there, Mother. Let's see what's going on 5 through 10. Five down to verse 10. What's going on that we can read?
The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Verse 5. Trust in the Yahweh with all thy mind, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Yahweh and depart from evil. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy neighbor and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9, honor the Yahweh with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. Verse 10, so shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
You see the man saying? And look what he'll say. Now the wise man in the world one wrote that he asked for his wisdom, and we not read in 2 Chronicles 1:7 down to verse 12. The wise man in the world, and Yahweh said, since you didn't ask me to kill nobody, you something that won't make you the wisest man to ever live and the richest man to ever live. Because you want to do what I tell you to do. So he tells you, he was solemn, he said, tell them in your writing, it don't work unless you understand what's written in verse number 9. Let me say in verse 9 that we can read. Now watch it say in verse 9 that we all read together. This is the wisest man in the world that been instructed by the wisest man that made the world. What he said we can read in verse 9.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Yahweh with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase.
He said, everything you get your hand on, he said, the first fruit, you got to pull it out, and that's when you're the will of Yahweh. And that's when the rubber meets the road. That's the part where we're going to ignore. We're going to pay this part, don't never mind. But the wisest man in the world, after the equitable wisdom in 2 Chronicles 1:7-12, you tell them, if you will be a servant of Yahweh, the first thing you must do is honor Yahweh with the first fruit of all your increase. You see that? But you ain't allowed that. How much is that? Well, you know, Latter-day Saints, that's the only thing y'all got right in the book. Yeah. According to y'all writing, the only thing that I have noticed about y'all 16 million members, you got that part right of this right here. But everything else, we're going to challenge them and see what it hold up. Okay. Let's precept that there. All right, Mama. Precept that and find out what he mean by honor Yahweh with the first fruit of all your increase. What that supposed to mean. Now, Paul was invited to the great big temple of the Almighty. He was invited. So Paul got a chance. Peter, go and grab the microphone and go and get talking, Paul. So Peter grabbed the microphone in the 7th chapter. Let's see what that means by honor Yahweh with all your substance. The first fruit of whatever you get your hand on goes to the ministry. Now, Paul is invited to the great big temple of Yahweh, and give me 2:7-2. What it says we can read. Now, Paul pulled this verse from Proverbs. Let's see what is the amount that we can read what we notice in the writings and the teaching of the Latter-day Saints. That's about the only part that I see that y'all got right. Because I remember, before I make a statement, I go back and review all my old notes, and I'm prepared to deliver you up, but you just got to wait until I deliver you up. I'm going to deliver you up, but I'm going to walk it down. So in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, what can we read in 2 lines there, Mother?
The Hebrews.
Hebrews.
Okay. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 2 reads, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all first.
Stop it right there. Right there, that's it. So with all your increase, it means a tenth part of all. Whatever it is a tenth of all. That's the only thing I see that the Latter-day Saints got right. They make sure they push that big time. Make sure you 16 million. Yeah, I know your numbers. 16 million. Make sure that whatever you're doing, you give the Latter-day Saints a tenth part of all. And that's why you see them so big in all the states, especially in Utah, because that's one thing to be a member of the Latter-day Saints. You have to sign on dotted line to give up the tenth part of all. And they make sure you clear, you understand that. See, that part they got right in the book. That part. But we're going to examine, do you have the rest? Now, verse 4. Now, what does verse 4 say, Mother?
Okay. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the law.
You see that? So there go Abraham. They said, now, if you're greater than Abraham, then you continue doing the way you do it. You just pay it, no, never mind. Just read the Bible. Just keep on reading the Bible. Don't pay. He's not considered how great Abraham was. Now, if you're greater than Abraham, then you don't pay this, no, never mind. Yahweh says, of your first fruit, pull out a tenth. That's the only thing the Latter-day Saints got right. That's it. Now, they got this part right. Pull out a tenth. But and then they got a book called The Book of Abraham. We're going to examine that book, too. We're going to examine everything before the next feast come up, because it done came to the table. We got the message you on left. We got everything. We're going to hear you talk and everything. We're going to examine everything, the Latter-day Saints, everything, because those that hear today, you've been chosen to respond today. You know, it's up to you. Matter of fact, hey, let's read that. Let's read that. I'm going to read a little bit more, Mother, in a minute. Let's read what Yahweh said. He sent the mental spirit to David in the 95th chapter. Elder, he sent the mental spirit to David, the truth, the teacher, to teach David something. And then we went and found what was taught to David. So it's up to you. You bow the Bible, you out. Don't bow the Bible, you out. That's the way it is. Now look what was said. Elder, Mr. Spirit. See, our job is to tell you what the Bible says. Spirit led from Yahweh. In Psalms 95, look what it says in verse 7 down to verse 11. Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, what can we read out of Psalms 95, 7 down to verse 11? What can we read? Come on.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 95, reading verses 7 to verse 11. 7 says, for he is our Yahweh, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice, 8, harden not your hearts or mind, as it is provocation, and is in the day of temptation in the wilderness. 9, when your fathers tempted me, provoked me, and saw my work. 10, 40 years long I was grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart of mind, and they have not known my ways. 11, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest.
Now, when you precept your Bible, Then you find out that Paul, they love to quote Paul and Peter. But Paul, let's see what Paul did while it's hot and heavy by Elder. Let's go to the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, Peter gave him the microphone, said, I'm going to give him the microphone. Let's see, did he come up with something that's far beyond him, or did he look back at something? We're going to Hebrews chapter 3, Elder, and we'll pick up at verse number 7, and we'll take it down to verse number 11. 7 to 11. Okay. 7 down to verse 11. Now, this is the right side of the book. Let's see what we can read in Hebrews 3, 7 down to verse 11. What can we read, Elder?
In the book of Hebrews, looking at chapter 3, 7 to 11, 7 says, wherefore, as the righteous spirit said, today if we will hear his voice. 8, harden not your heart or mind, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. 9, when your fathers tempted me, provoked me, and saw my works for the year. 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart or mind, and they have not known my ways or love. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.
Now, where we just read that at? You mean, Paul, where we just read that at, Elder? Then we read that this is 1,000 years later. You mean that ain't done away with? Why did Paul pull that verse? Because he knew they was coming to the temple, but they was not following the blueprint. They was all coming to one place, but Paul said, y'all not following the blueprint. If you want the blessing of this man, you got to follow the man God written. In 1000 B.C., David said, today, if you hear what I'm saying, don't harden your head. Just follow what the Bible tells you to do. If the Bible said this is the way to go, do it. Huh? Now, get down to verse number 13 and 15. What it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 and 15 now.
Book of Hebrews, reading from chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. 13 says, But exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins, transgressions. 14, for we are partakers of Yahweh the Son, and if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. 15, while it is said today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts among us, as in the provocation.
But see, now Paul going to tell you a little bit more than what David said. So he said, now be today, when you hear this, don't harden your head. But Paul going to go back and reach all the way back into Numbers 14 on it. See, Paul went all the way back to Numbers 14 and said what? In verse 17, 18 and 19. What he said in 18 and 19? What he says, now Paul went even further than that back. He skipped past David's 1,000 years and went all the way back to 14 and said what in verse 18 and 19?
In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 18 and verse number 19. 18 says, and the Yahweh is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity, sins, and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity, sins of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity, sins
hey,
of the people according to...
What you read? I'm still in Hebrews chapter 3. I'm looking at verse 18 and 19. You sounding good, but I'm trying to follow you from Hebrews 3, 18 and 19. 1 through 3,
okay,
18 and 19.
I heard numbers. Sorry about that.
No. Yeah, well, now, I said Paul. No, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute, Elder. Now, Paul reached all the way back to number. He went past David. That's what I said. Paul really up the ante. He went past David 1000 B.C. and got all the way up. He got all the way back to Numbers 14. But we in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. What that say, Elder? Hebrews 3, 18 and 19.
Hebrews chapter 3. Looking at verses 18 and verse number 19. 18 says, "And to whom swear that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not." 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
You see that? He said, now we went way back to Numbers 14. He said, listen, I swore my wrath. Some people back there, I don't care. When I wake everybody up, I'm going to burn them in the fire. And Paul was reminding them, you got to eat this whole robe. Because if you don't eat this whole robe, you only eat the part you want. You're going to be part of people that when I wake you back up, I'm going to burn you in the fire. He says, and to whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest. But to them that believe not. See, if you don't believe what the man telling you to do and do it, and you won't come up another way, you just don't, you understand, when he do wake you up, you're going to the fire. Verse 19. So we see that they should not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. You don't want to believe what the Bible's saying. You want to believe what your mind is telling you to do. And we read, though, you don't lean on your mind. The man tell you what you do, how to do it, and all you're supposed to do is do it. What you mean, Latter-day Saints, you need another case in point. All right. And it'll back up to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. Let's get another case in point. Let's back up to 1 Kings 17 and pick up at verse number 10. Let's get another case in point. We're going to 10 down to verse number 17. Let's get another case. But then we're going to wrap it up in verse 24. And Mother E, have me 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, waiting on me. Now, we can forget a WCC, another case in point. See, if you don't believe the Bible, you might put the Bible out and walk. Because this is what's going to be judging you in the last day is what's written. And our job is only read the Bible to you, meet you where you at. It's up to you. And 1 Kings 17, verse 10, let's read a little bit, Elder. Take it on down to verse 17, come on. 1 Kings 17, 10 down to verse 17, what it say?
1 Kings, looking at chapter 17. Down to 19. 17 says, and
17
came to pass.
Yeah.
Okay, 17:10.
Yeah.
And what verse?
14, chapter 17, pick up a verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 17. Chapter 17, pick up verse 10. And take it straight on down to verse number 16 and 24. 1 Kings 17, 10 to 16 and 24.
Okay, 1 Kings, looking at chapter 17, reading 16 and 24 or 16 through 24.
Now, hold on, Elder. 10. Pick up verse 10. 17, verse 10, and take it down to verse number, take it down to verse number 16 and verse 24. 1 Kings 17, 10, to 16 and 24. Come on.
Okay. Once again, 1 Kings 17, reading verse 10 to 16 and verse 24. Verse number 10. So he rose and went to Zebra. And when he came unto the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. 7:11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. 12. And she said, as a Yahuwah, the Yahuwah liveth, I have not a cake, but a hand of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my sons, that we may eat and die. 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. 14. For thus saith the Yahuwah, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Yahuwah seeth bring upon the earth. 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she said, and he and her house did eat many days. 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Yahuwah, which he spake by Elijah. 24. And the woman said, now by this I know, thou art a man of Yahuwah, and that the word of Yahuwah, thy mouth is true.
Mm-hmm. But what did she have to do in verse 13? But what she had to do in verse 13 is, for to say all this good talk to Elijah's fear, what did she do in verse number 13?
13. Elijah said, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for me, pray for thy and for thy son.
Huh. So according to 1 Kings 17, all of this come up and that come up. But what did the Almighty tell Elijah still to bring heels in what order? Hey, elder, according to verse 13, he said, bring heels in what order? Mm-hmm. Say it louder, mother.
Hey.
Mother, go ahead and speak louder.
Hey.
First. So otherwise, I don't care what you got going on. If you follow the Bible, this is a result of it. By, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. But what did Elijah say? Literally, we're going, I'm going to dress up all I got this and all I got that. He said, yeah, I know what you got, but make sure those seer get his hand on whatever you got. And what on again, a mother?
Hey. Hey.
Bird. Now you're upon the will of Yahuwah. So now if you contrary to that, then you know you're not in the will of Yahuwah. This is the game changer. Because he made it plain, mother. Hey, mother, he made it plain in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. How plain it could it be in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9? What did he say in 2, verse 9?
Right, sir.
2, verse 9.
Verse 9. Okay. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9, read. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh had prepared for him that loves him.
He said, I don't care what your eyes are seeing, what your ears have heard. What Yahweh got planned for you, you ain't got a clue. But the only way you're going to see the clue, you want to follow what's written in his Bible. I don't care how many great big buildings you're going to see, how much carpet you're going to see roll all the way out to the street. He said, what Yahweh got planned for them that love him, and here's the point. That's a big talk about loving him. Do you know how you love him? Huh? Let's read how you love him, mother. St. John chapter 14, verse 15. What you said, WCC? Yeah, we going to cut the elder off. He's through talking for the night. Well, you just cut the young lion out. Now you cut the seed off, huh? Well. What it says in St. John chapter 14, verse number 15. What it says,
thank
we can read that, mother. Let's find out very big old love in. Oh, I love the Most High. You love him? Let's see what he says, this love in that he appreciates. We go on to St. John chapter 14, verse 15, 21,
thank
and 24. Hey, Mother Z, get them books all lined up, Mother Z. You're going to be called on because he'll cancel out all of the young lines and IL. How they roll? Well, Mother, you got to roll. I'm going to be telling you, Sister Israel. Sister Israel, get prepared to come on the network real soon. Be prepared. Be cocked and loaded. Sister B.S. Judy Israel, get prepared. Be cocked and loaded. Sooner or later, you want to get on the microphone and holler at it. Be prepared. Be ready. You will be called on real soon. But you got to be ready. Don't be just following around when it's time for you to throw down. Hit the floor running. You're rehearsing the righteous act right now, 5:11. Now, Mother Z. Now, it's like we got way in that, Mother. That's the way it look like right now. So now, but we know you can do it. So what you getting ready to read?
St. John chapter 14, verse 15, 21, and 24.
Yes, ma'am. What did that say?
St. John chapter 14, verse 15 reads, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that love me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Verse 24. He that loves me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me.
So this great love in is not that you all hear your great love in if you do what the man tell you to do. So if you do what the man tell you to do, that's how that he know that you love him. Love is doing what is been that you can read. That's how you, I love my mighty one. Okay, good. But why don't you do what the man tell you to do? I tell you what, go to your job and say, well, you know, I feel like I'm going to do what I want to do. He said, well, you know you damaging getting your paycheck. No, I won't get my paycheck. Well, then you better do what I tell you to do. Now, you're talking about your eternal life. Your eternal life is telling you if you love him, you do what he tell you to do. Now, you already what he told you to do. It's up to you to respond, you know, on what he's saying in Take 46. Now, I ain't through with that because Paul, mother, in the 7th chapter, verse 1, 7 verse 1, 10 and 16. But before you read 1, 10 and 16, I want to hear what Yahweh said to Solomon, the wisest man in the world. What did he tell Solomon to put in his book for us to read at a time appointed in 8:17? Proverbs 8:17, I want to find out what did he told Solomon, because we know he told Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 through 12. He said, you didn't ask me for long life. You didn't ask me to kill up your enemies. You asked me for wisdom to govern your people. He said, I like that kind of talk when you put me first. So now Solomon wrote something in Proverbs there, mother. Chapter 8, verse 17. Can you help those see out what did he write after Yahweh had blessed his hand in his mouth, in his mind? What did he write in 8:17 of Proverbs?
Chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
Oh! So, mother, Yahweh says what? What did he say again in verse 17? 8:17?
Those that seek me early shall find me. So he said, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me.
Ain't that something? He said, yeah, but guess what my love is? I love them that love me. Mm-hmm. And if you love me, seek me early. So if you love me, you will do what this Bible saying. You don't have to worry about the personality. You can be doing what this Bible saying. If you love him, you do what the Bible saying. That's simple as that. That's what he say. It's written in the Bible. So if you love me, this is what I'm saying. And how do I talk? In Luke 1, verse 7. And how he talk, mother, in Luke 1, verse 7. How do the Almighty talk that we can read? Luke
1,
verse 7. 7:0. 1, verse 7:0.
Book of Luke. Chapter 1. Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 7. As he speaks by the mouth of his righteous seal, which have been since the world began.
So when the Almighty spoke, mother, so when he had something to say to man, how did he do it according to 1, verse 70 in Luke?
By his righteous, and he speaks by the mouth of his righteous fears.
That is the greatest mystery in teaching and understanding. When Yahweh got something to say to man and woman, according to Luke 1 verse 70, mother, how do he do it? According to 1 verse 70.
He speaks by the mouth of his righteous fears.
Now look at WCC. Fear, can I get a second witness? All right, mother, let's go to Acts 3, 18 and 20. Write it down, WCC, World Council of Churches. Write it down. 3, 18 and 20. Acts 3, 18 and 20, right side of the book. We can get plenty on the left side of the book, but we just meet you in your strength. Acts 3, 18 and 20. What is that, mother?
Book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 18 and 20.
Yes, ma'am.
Acts chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 20. Verse 18. But those things which Yahweh before had shown by the mouth of all his seals
that Yahweh the Son should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Verse 20. And he shall send Yahweh the Son, which before was taught unto you.
That's all I can get out of that. I can't get a little bit more, Mother.
Do you want 19?
You done right. Let me just peek. It seems like I need a little bit more because while you was reading it, read verse 21.
Verse 21.
Read 21. Okay. Yeah, read 21. 18 and 21. So you read 18 real good, no doubt about it. But see, I was stuck, Mother. See, when you stuck, that means evidently for me to go to another verse, by the time you start reading this verse, he then gave me another verse to go to after that one. That's how it works. So I didn't hear what I need to hear in verse 21. Read verse 21 again.
Verse 21. I didn't read 21. I read 22. Verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of all his righteous seals since the world began.
So, Mother, according to verse 21, he spoke by the mouth of who? According to verse 21.
He spoke by the mouth of his righteous seals.
Since when? According to that verse.
Since the world began.
Excellent. So that's how he operates. So when you hear all this what's going on now, so we know tomorrow we'll take care of, basically, we're going to take care of WCC and them real good tomorrow. But we should land a foundation. So it's no accident in Yahweh's word. So now, in verse 25, Mother. Same book, Acts 3, 25 and 26. Something about these verses need to be known plainly, because when we look at the teaching of the Latter-day Saints, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Protestant Church, we're going to examine things according to what we get ready to read in verse 25 and 26. What does it say? In Acts 3:25 and 26.
The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 25 and verse 26. Verse 25. Ye are the children of the seer, the prophet, the seer, and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. 26. Unto you first, Yahweh, having raised up his son, Yahweh, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from his sin, iniquity, sin.
Hey, Mother, what order, according to verse 26, what order are we in? Because right now in society today, we on the lowest of the token pole, right? But according to the Bible, what order are we in according to verse 26?
Unto you first.
Ain't that something?
Right.
You see, that's why we come humble. It is so much to understand the pecking orders of your mighty one. You is first, and everybody is after you. See, but you got to follow what the word says to be in that order for Yahweh to look at you first. Now let's say that verse, Mother, in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, 10, and 16. Now Paul is addressing the scattered northern kingdom and Judah too. So he came to them in Rome and looked them eyeball to eyeball, and he said something to them, Mother, in 7 verse 1, 10, and 16. What did Paul say when he got to Rome? Paul went to Rome, and he addressed the children of Israel that were scattered in Rome. And what did he say to them? The 7th chapter, verse 1, 10, and 16. What did he say that we can read, Mother?
Romans
1, 10, 12, and 16. Yeah, make it 1, 10, 12, and 16. Take your time, Mother. Just right back and get a deep breath and just write it down. Take your time, write it down. 1, chapter 7, verse 1, 10, 12, and 16. What did he say? And then you can deliver it whenever you get ready. We got plenty more time.
The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 1, 10, 12, and 16. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the truth, the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Verse 12. Wherefore the law is righteous, and the commandment righteous, and just and good. Verse 16. As then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
The law is what, Mother?
Good.
It's good. The law is good. And how long are you under the law in 7 verse 1 according to Paul? See, I don't know why the big dignitaries don't read it. According to 7 verse 1, how long are you under the law, according to Paul, 7 verse 1? And you know, okay, saints, no religion will read this verse 7, 1, and 10. Why you never read Paul's writing that he said in verse 7, 1, and verse 10? Why this never been read in your ear? What it say in verse 7, 1, and 10?
Verse 7, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the truth, the law, how that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. Verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death.
So the law is the commandments. The commandments is the law. The law is the commandments. Mr. Preacher, you up under the law as long as you live, which is a commandment. It ain't done away with. Why do you teach it's done away with? The law is ordained to life. It's not done away with. Why do you never want to quote what Paul says in the 7th chapter, verse 1, 10, 12, and 16. Why? Why do you leave it out? Unless you got your own agenda. So that's how you can bring in that you got mixed, because you won't read the law. The law says that the commandments, as long as you live, and if you breathe and you hear us, you living, right? You up under the law. The law that you're not up under is Hebrews 10:1, Mother. Would you help the national audience out, over 700,000 strong on the international side? Can you help them out? What law that you're not up under no more? Could you help them out in Hebrews 10? Yeah. Help out this national audience about what law you're not up under anymore. 10:1, what it say?
The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 1 reads, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things than never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually making the commerce thereunto perfect.
So the law that you're not under anymore is killing animals, the sacrificial
right.
law. You cannot kill no animals for your sins to be forgiven. See, that is the law that you are not up under. You still got to keep the commandments. The law that he came to put you back in order is the killing of animals. Look what he says. Look what Paul said. He says in 10 verse 12. Now, guess what Paul said? He said. Now, Paul was more closer to him than you are. What did Paul say in verse 12 through 14? Now, we're going to see what Paul said. You love to quote Paul. But look what Paul says in Hebrews chapter, what are we in? Chapter 10, verse 12 down to verse 14. What did Paul say that he said in verse 12, 13, and 14? Come on, Mother. Take your time, Mother. Come on.
The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sit down on the right hand of Yahweh the Father. Verse 13. For henceforth, expecting till his enemies he made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
He said for one offering. So that one offering. So once he offered himself for you killing an animal, that's over with. Now he's sitting there waiting to make you that don't obey this his enemy. So he's sitting on the right hand waiting on his Father. He made one sacrifice to remove you do not kill no more animals. To say that your sins is forgiven him. And we're going to read tomorrow night lesson showing you that recorded history that we do some things and that's wrong what we bring out later. He made one offering for that. So now he expected those to be his enemies that don't believe what the Bible say. You believe what that man say. But I'm telling you, believe the Bible. Because he made one sin. He told Luke in 19 verse 7 something, Mother. See, that's how the Spirit operates. You don't know what he's going to tell you, but you have to have an ear to hear, and that Spirit will tell you what next verse to go to. I don't care what you don't prepared on your lesson. He'll say, yeah, see, that sounds pretty good. But why don't you put 19 verse 7 in there and make that sound good? Let's go to Luke 19 verse 7 and see what that says. 1927.
Okay. 1927.
Let's see what
1927 says
that we can read.
The book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 27. The book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 27. But those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
Yeah. He said, expecting his enemy to be made my his footstool, he told Luke, put it in right. All I'm going to bring it out is the six anointed camps of voices of a Jewish life. The one that don't obey my word, it's going to come a time I'm going to say, wake them up, and bring them before me and kill them. There's right there, 19 verse 27. So you see how important to understand it's time for you to come out of that paganism you're in and make a decision according to the Bible. You have to make a decision according to the Bible. You can't keep on making decisions according to your feelings. You got to make a decision according to the Bible. That's all. If the Bible say this is the way, then do it. The Bible don't say it, don't do it. Do what you can read, but in order. All right, mother. Now, let's come to that verse that we've been talking about for a long time in 1 Peter 2, verse 20. What do we say? Now, Peter is supposed to be the first pope of Rome, and everybody else is a successor of Peter. But let's see what Peter says, Peter 2, verse number 20. What do you say we can read, Mother, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20? What do you say that we can read?
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 reads, well, what honor is it that when you be buffered for your fault, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, yea, take it patient, this is acceptable with Yahweh.
Yeah, man, just said, he said, as long as you're doing right and you're suffering for it, he said, you got to suffer to get to where you got to get to. This ain't no cakewalk. You got to pay a price. He said, take it well. Take it well. Oh, it's just no. Except what the man saying by the mouth of Peter, saying, now, listen. Read that again, Mother. Take your time, because you own some of it. Now you own some again. What they say is, because sometimes people get discouraged. That's why you got to have these structures to go back on. If you know you're doing right and you're doing well, accept that. Well, where do you get that from, Seer? 1 Peter 2, verse 20. What does it say?
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Well, what honor is it if when you be buffered for your fault, you shall take it patience. But if when you do well and suffer for it, yet take it patience, this is acceptable with Yahweh.
Ain't that something? He said it's acceptable. If you're doing right and something happened to you, you know you're doing right. Oh, man, well, look what happened to me. He said, accept that. That's the hand of Yahweh trying you to see if you're worthy for what you got coming. Because he got it written in Isaiah 64, verse 4. Hey, Mother, what do you got written in Isaiah 64, verse 4 that we all can read together? Isaiah 64, verse 4. What can we all read together, Mother?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 4 reads, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, man have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O Yahweh, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him.
So you see, you thought that was a new statement he made in Corinthians 2:9. No, that was an old statement that was written in 700 B.C. That was an old statement that was written in 700 B.C. that what the Almighty got for you. You ain't got a clue on it. But those that wait on him, follow what he got on the table. If he going to put a whooping on you, take the whooping. Because what you got coming is eternal life. But you got to obey. And he made it plain, Mother. Hey, Mother. He made it plain in Revelation 3, verse 11. What did he say in end time prophecy in Revelation 3, verse 11? What did he say, Mother? Mother E, what did he say?
The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 reads, behold, I come quickly. Hold that faith which I have, that no man take thy crown.
He said, I'm coming quickly. He said, oh, what you got? What you got? The law, the commandments. The commandments, the law. Hold that fast. I'll give you the law, which is the commandments, which is the law. Hold fast on what you already have. What do you have? The law, the commandments. Hold that fast until I get back. Make sure when I catch you, you're doing the law, you're doing the commandments. Then, but don't let nobody take your crown. Mm-hmm. And you can lose your crown if you're not following Genesis 2, verse 3. See, this is how you lose your crown. You can lose your crown. Genesis 2, verse 3, what does it say, Mother?
Book of Genesis 2, verse 3. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 3, reading. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which Yahweh created and made.
So it ain't but one. It ain't but one blessed day out of seven.
Mm-hmm.
The wow. 7 days: sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. That's it. All the rest of the days is just work days or crapshoot. That ain't gonna get you where you want to get to, huh? Because see, understand, if you're not keeping Friday night to Sabbath, Friday night, Saturday night, that's the best day. But do you know he got it written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and we took our time to walk it all the way down to verse 17. But let's read a little bit what he got written. Something will happen that we need to hear in end-time prophecy. What happened to take one verse at a time, Mo? In 12, verse 9 of Revelation, can you help those see out what it said we can read in 12, verse 9 of Revelation?
Book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his unclean spirits were cast out with him.
In time prophecy, Mother, that was written by John, saying that devil, that serpent, he had to see how many, Mother, according to 12 verse 9?
And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world.
He has to see the whole world. Anytime you're not following what the Bible's saying, you have been deceived. The devil have deceived you. And not only that, in 2 verse 10, although we're coming back there, Mo, put a marker there. We come back to read verse 11. Let's find out something else about that devil. What else, since he deceived the whole world, what else that devil is good for doing to you in Revelation 2, verse 10.
Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10. Okay. The Book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10, read. Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou hast suffered. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Right. You hear that, Mother? He says, the who going to do what, Mother? Mother. Now, Mother, you'll stumble up on something that time. Now, who going to do what? and 2 verse 10. Look at that real carefully, mother. Who going to do what? And 2 verse 10 again in Revelation.
Okay. It says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Into prison.
Now, the devil going to cast you in the prison. Who got the power to do that, mother? Who got the power to do that? You said the devil going to cast some of you in prison. Now, who got the power to do that? Let's see if we preach up our Bible and find out who got the power to do that. By going to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 down to verse 12. We got to run that down, mother. So we just found out the devil going to catch some of you in prison. Now, we got to find out what they're talking about, mother. But the only way we're going to be able to do it, we must precept our Bible. Now, what devil are you talking about? Read. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, pick at verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 down to verse 12. Let's see if we analyze what this precept is talking about. 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 to 12. You're on the clock, mother. Come on.
Verses 5 to 12.
Yes, ma'am.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 to 12. Verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Verse 6. And now you know what withholding that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7. For the mistress of iniquitous sin do already work, only in whom now let it will live until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10. And with all deceivingness of unrighteousness in whom that perishes, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause, Yahweh shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned, whom believe not the truth, but have pledges in unrighteousness.
Hey, mother, that's big talk right there. Now, he said, but before he come back, what did you read in verse 8 and 9? He said, before he get back here and take care of his business, he said something, mother, in verse 8 and 9, and we might well take a look at what he said after we hear it read one more time for the national audience in verse 8 and verse 9. What did he say again, mother, in verse 8 and 9?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and sign and lying wonders.
Mm-hmm. So we find out this man is not going to be revealed, but he will be revealed by the spirit of his mouth. So what is the spirit of his mouth? So the only one going to be able to tell you about these things before he get back, he said he will be revealed by the spirit of his mouth. So the spirit of his mouth, mother, that's the one got to first reveal him where it be no shadow of a doubt. But we got to find out. I know a lot of people suspicious about it. We got to find out who is the spirit of his mouth. That's what we got to find out. So let's find who the spirit of his mouth that we can read by going to Hosea Chapter 12. Now, mother, so now we better really take a look at something. He said, now, the spirit of his mouth got to reveal the wicked one. He said, that's what's going to happen, the spirit of his mouth. That big talk, mother. So now we got to precept that, mother. Find out what is he talking about. What is the spirit of his mouth that we can read? Let's go to Hosea chapter 12, and we're looking for the spirit of his mouth. Hosea chapter 12, verse 10. Let's see, let's pick up at verse 10 first. Hosea 12, verse 10.
Okay. I got it. Hosea chapter 12, verse 10 reads, I have also spoken by the seer, and I have multiplied vision and used similitude by the minister of the seer.
Uh-oh. So now we'll find out that he spoke by the fears. So now we got one witness, but we got to get a little bit more, mother. So he says he must be revealed by the spirit of his mouth. So his mouth, we just found out his mouth, he spoke by the fears. But we need a little bit more. We need to make it a little more plain. Let's go to the seventh chapter, mother. We're going to find out a little bit more. We're going to Zechariah, mother. You see, can we run this down according to Scripture? Who is the spirit of his mouth that we can read? We're going to Zechariah chapter 7. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 7. And let's take it down to 10. No, let's look at Zechariah 7 down to verse 10 and 12. We're going to Zechariah chapter 7, verse 7 down to verse 10 and verse 12. Take your time there, mother. We own something. Let's find what we own in Zechariah 7. 7 down to verse 10 and 12.
Zechariah chapter 7, verses 7 to 10 and verse 12. Verse 7. Did he not hear the words which the Yahweh has cried by the former seers when Yahweh Judah was inhabited and in
prosperity.
Prosperity. And the city.
So it is a history once upon a time ago that the children of Judah was once in prosperity, had their own land, but we went to church all our life and we ain't never told, we've been never told that we once had prosperity, had our own land, all this good stuff. So Zechariah is saying, you go tell the children of Israel, ye not hear the words with Yahweh have cried by the former seers of Judah when they was inhabited and in prosperity? He said, tell them, you ain't always been like you are today. You was skinning and grinning, you know, and had your own land and people was bringing you a couple dollars. Now it's not good. Hold that point. I got to put a rabbit out there, mother. Hold that point. Put your marker there, mother. See, sometimes you might be hearing something and then you want to continue. And that miserable spirit will step up and say, nah, that sounds pretty good. But now back up to right past Jeremiah called Lamentation. We go to Lamentation, mother. Right past Jeremiah. Come back here again. Put a mark in that. But we want to go to Lamentation. Because he made a right past Jeremiah is Lamentation, mother. So now he says, you go talk to them. Go talk to them. Because once upon a time ago that you can find, you had a land and could find your $10. But now you gotta have your hat in your hand and let them put $10 in your pocket. So now, in the book of Jeremiah, it's called Jeremiah is the one that wrote Lamentation.
Okay.
In 1:1 down to verse 4. We're going to Lamentation 1:1 down to verse 4. We're coming right back to where we was at. Let's see if we tie this in up through scripture. Lamentation chapter 1:1 down to verse 4. Let's see what happened when the city was in solitary. That means it was isolated alone, solitary. Let's read about this solitary, mother. Lamentation chapter 1:1 down to verse 4. Come on.
Book of Lamentation, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1. How do the city sit slopely, solitary, that were full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations, and princess among the providence. How is she become tributary?
Tributary. Hey, mother. You see, he said, how you become tributaries now? Why are you paying? Once upon a time ago, you was receiving everything. He told Jeremiah, remind him, now the city that you was once in, you no longer in there. Now you are your paying, tributary to everybody else. He says, that ain't the way it were. How did you get yourself all messed up like this? See, Jeremiah is talking to, by the spirit of his mouth, he's talking to the Israelites. He says, how did you mess up like this? How you end up when you paid, now you paying? Can you read a little bit more, Mother?
Verse 2, she weeps forth in the night, and her tears are on her cheek. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies.
Hold on, mother.
You hear what the man's saying? He's saying, what happened to you?
All the ones that used to skin and grin your face when you had it going good, you had your $10. Now them same ones now become your enemy. Mm-hmm. See that? See, they was grinning in your face, mother. Did you hear what he's saying? He said, all the nations around about you come grinning in your face because you had the power. But all of a sudden now when you start couldn't find your $10, them same people now hate your guts. You mm-hmm. see that, mother? You mean that's the Bible? Yes, mother. We was all right. But now we become tributary. We paid everybody. We used to be the one they paid us. Verse 3.
Judas is gone unto captivity because of affliction and because of great
Great certitude. Go ahead and read.
He dwelleth among the nations. He findeth no rest. All her persecution overtook her between the stars.
The straight. All your persecutors have overtaken you to stretch, and you become certitude. That means you become slaves. Perpetual certitude. You become slaves, mother. What he's saying? He said, now, you was the one that had it going on, skinning and gritting everywhere when you had your mighty one right. But now them same people, they buying you like bad ice cream and kicking you in the ring and everywhere because you left your mighty one. You left the instructions of your mighty one. And who he said? Judah. Judah is the one you call African American, Negro in color. Now you in trouble, Judah. All that good stuff you once had, ain't nobody going to teach you about it. You always think you've been a slave all your life. Matter of fact, we're going to read that next. What's the next verse there, mother? Verse 4.
The way of Yahweh Judah do mourn, because none come to the fall.
The Solomon Feast. He's saying, this, you know, your problem will happen to you. You don't want to keep the feast days. You don't keep the Sabbath day. You didn't want to keep the feast days. The other nation used to come to it, but now nobody come to do nothing that you're doing. He said, you brought this on yourself, children of Israel. Now you got feast days coming up. I don't know if you want to keep it. Everybody making excuses for it. Jeremiah is prophesizing about the one that's called African American, Negro in color, and super coon right here. He was prophesizing how you going to be like we are today. Go ahead, Mo. Finish that up.
All her gates are desolate. Her priests sing. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness.
And ain't we in bitterness now? Yeah, we in bitterness now. So we see everybody skinning and grinning, and we celebrate day holidays. Stuff they are made up. We won't do nothing in the Bible. We celebrate everything they got going on. New Year's, Christmas, Easter coming up. All that stuff that they made up, guess who will be the first one that be hook, line, and sinker in it? We. 4th of July. We gonna do everything contrary to the Bible. Well, mother, who's he talking about? Hold that point. Let's go to Jeremiah, mother, and see who is he talking about. Let's back up to Jeremiah chapter 2. We got to find out who are you talking about. We're going to Jeremiah 2, verse 1 down to verse 8. We're going to take our time, Mother, because this probably might be just about our last verses. But we're just going to come back at it tomorrow on a special edition called Thursday Evening at 6 o'clock. This might be the last, Mother, but we're going to take a look at this Spirit-led at Jeremiah 2, 1 down to verse 8. Take your time there, Mother. Jeremiah 2, 1 to verse 8. What does it say?
Book of Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Yahweh came to me saying, verse 2, go and cry in the ear of Sakkar Judah, saying, thus says the Yahweh, I remember thee, the kindness of your youth, the love of thine espouse, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Verse 3. Israel was righteousness unto thee, Yahweh, and the first fruit of his increase. All that divide him shall offend, even shall come upon him, said the Yahweh. Hear you the words of the Yahweh, O family of Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel, and all the families of the family of Israel. Verse 5. Thus said the Yahweh, what iniquity sin have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain. Verse 6. Neither said they, where is the Yahweh that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of desert and of pit, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passes through and where no man dwells. Verse 7. I brought you unto a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye enter, you defile my land and made my heritage abomination. Verse 8. The priest said, my, where is the Yahweh? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors, also transgressed against me, and the seers prophesied, the preachers prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit.
Ain't that something? Mother, you hear that? He said, everybody guilty. He said, Jeremiah, he said, tell them everybody's guilty. He said, everybody guilty. Go tell them the reason they in, when they in position they in today, because they forsook him. He said, them bishops and them teachers that had my pastors, that had my law, they act like it didn't exist. Now, skip down to 11, down to verse 14, Mother. 11 down to 14. See again. Now, he's wiping his eyes, Mother. Oh, see, crying already about this children of Israel. Look what it says in verse 11 down to verse 14.
Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Verse 11. Has a nation changed their Yahweh, which are yet no Yahweh? But my people have changed their glory for that which doeth not profit. Verse 12. Be astonished, O ye heaven, at this, and be horrible afraid. Be ye very desolate, said the Yahweh. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and used them our system, broken system, that can hold no water. Verse 14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homegrown slave? Why is he false?
He said, mother, he said, all you know is slavery. He said, you are just a homeborn. What happened to you? See, we've been thinking all our life we've just been a homeborn slave. We just was created to serve everybody else. No. No. You put this on yourself, Israel. Go to Jeremiah 13, mother, 8 through 10. Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10. He says, is Israel just a homeborn slave? See, we slayed him for everybody because we put it on ourselves. Because we don't want to do what he says in Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10. What he say, mother, we can read? Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10. What
did he say? The book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Verse 8. Then the word of Yahweh come unto me, saying, verse 9. Thus said the Yahweh, after this manner will I mire the pride of Judah and the great pride of Yahweh Judah. Verse 10, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their mind and walk after other Yahwahs to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girl, which is good for nothing.
Ain't that something? He ain't said about us, mother. He said, he calls the evil people, and we good for what, mother? What are we good for, mother?
Good for nothing.
You ain't good for nothing. See, if you ain't keeping the law, you ain't good for nothing. The other man said he called you evil people because you refuse to keep the law and the commandments. See, when you don't keep the law and the commandments, you are evil people. That's what he said. Let's go to Hosea chapter 5. Verse 15, a close study, mother. You stood tall like a lioness, mother. You stood tall and, what's that, WCC? Yeah, I got to give you credit on that. She did. All right. She stood tall. Hey, mother, you stood tall in grand style. You held down. Yahweh, I know it. Hosea 5:15, a close study, let's say. What it say we can read in Hosea 5:15?
The book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, read. I will go. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face and their affliction. They will seek me early.
He said, I'm going to go and return to my place. He said, in your affliction, and when you get tired of getting whooped up, you're going to seek my face. He said, how much you're going to be whooped up is up to you. But, hey, mother, I got to precept that, mother. I got to get one more precept in. Go to 2 Chronicles 7, 14 through 16, and that'd be it in a closing statement. I got to get a precept out of that. Let's see what he's talking about. He said, I'm going to go to my place. I'm just going to sit there and watch you. Who is you talking about? 2 Chronicles 7, pick up verse 14 down to verse 16 and a closing statement. That's it, Mother. It's on you now. That's it.
2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 to 15.
Yeah, that's good. 14, 15, and 16.
Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall honor themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Verse 16. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, this temple, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my mind shall be there perpetually.
Excellent, Mother. Excellent. So he says, up to you. He said, I want you. Get right. All right, Mother, you stood tall in grand style. Whatever your closing statement is, to catch everybody tomorrow at 6 p.m. You're on the clock, Mother. Excellent on your part, Mother.
Okay.
Mother.
I just thank and
praise
you.
What's the closing statement is, Mother?
Okay. Thanking and praising Yahweh for this class. Thanking and praising Yahweh. For the seer, and just thanking and praising Yahweh to be able to be in the class.